Owner Chuck Zackney had quite the run in 2005 when a Fleet Alex won the Grade 1 Preakness and Grade 1 Belmont and was named champion three-year-old male. He's had a good horse here and there since over the next many years, but nothing like the duo he's ready to launch in the major races for three-year-old fillies and colts next year. He's the co-owner of both Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner Jaywalk and Grade 2 Remsen winner, the undefeated Maximus Mischief. And yes, he's dreaming of a Kentucky Oaks Kentucky Derby Daily Double. Can you blame him? Zackney is this week's guest on the Thoroughbred Daily News podcast, brought to you by TaylorMade.
For over 40 years, buyers, sellers, and breeders alike have turned to TaylorMade for custom fit solutions. From boarding to breeding to both public and private sales, our dedicated team stands ready to serve you. With expert advice from the Taylor brothers and their experienced team of account managers, you can count on TaylorMade to provide the personalized service you deserve and expect. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com and discover what the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing can do for you.
Welcome back. This is Bill Finley, the host of the TDN's podcast, and we're pleased to be joined by Cash's King Stables' Chuck Zackney. Chuck, before my first question, let's listen to Maximus Mischief winning the Remsen.
Maximus Mischief is asked to run now, gets a reminder, and opens up a length. Tax is second, five back to Network Effect in third, followed by Bourbon War. They're coming to the 16th pole, and it's Maximus Mischief proving he's the real deal as he opens up late. A belated rally from Network Effect, Maximus Mischief wins the Remsen.
After two easy wins at Parks, Chuck, what were you hoping to find out in the Remsen, and what did you find out?
Well, we knew it would be another learning experience. So I guess the first thing was the distance, adding two furlongs from the 7-furlong race. But yeah, the most important thing I think we saw is the way he acted in the paddock area. He was a true professional, and then he went to the racetrack and showed it there. So we were very, very happy the way he relaxed. Frankie got him to relax, sit, and then he won impressively by 2.25 lengths. Very, very happy. And that was pretty much what we were expecting and hoping for the added distance and the Remsen.
Okay. Now, the Remsen came after what was a rather non-aggressive start to his campaign, a maiden race at Parks and then a three-horse allowance race at Parks. Why did you and your trainer, Butch Reed, pick out such a conservative route to get his career started?
When we purchased him and we got him at the May Fastic Tipton sale, Carrie Frommer, the consigner, actually pin-fired him prior to that. So we knew that going in. We were very patient with him. He pretty much told us when he was going to be ready. So he raced the first two races at Parks. We were expecting maybe a bigger field race too, the allowance race. There were a couple that were entered, but they scratched late. So it went down to a three-horse field. And once again, he won impressively. And we were trying to figure out what would be next. So we looked at the Remsen. We wanted to stay somewhat local. We did try the Churchill Downs race last year. We realized it's a little shorter, but it's a big field. So we said, why not shoot for the Remsen? It'd probably be 5-6 horses. And we thought it just made the most sense, the next logical step for him.
And it's interesting you mentioned that because at one time or another, it looked like the Remsen was going to come up really tough. Then two very good horses, including the Champagne winner, came out. Honestly, I think it's fair to say that it was a fairly weak race for a grade two. If someone were to still come to you at this point and say, hey, Chuck, who has he beaten? What would your answer to that be?
I think he beat, you know, every horse in the race. What I was most impressed was the 97 buyer that he got from the race. I could not figure out the track all day. Early races were really, really slow. But like I said, I saw a really patient ride from Frankie. I saw him a true professional in the paddock area, and he responded well when he had horses on both sides of him. So I think he got a lot out of the race. We were very, very happy. You know, going into the new year, we're 3-for-3, and he's going to head south soon.
Okay. Now, you race under the name Cassius King Racing, and your partner is LC Racing. Who is LC Racing, and what percentage of the colt do you own, and what percentage do they own?
LC Racing is Glenn Bennett. I own a little over 50%, and then Glenn and his team own the rest. Glenn and I, we've been together for about 3 years. We currently have about 15 horses together, a great, great guy. And we really get along together. He had about 15 people at the track. I had about 10. So it was a nice little group on Saturday.
Okay, great. Now, going back to the origins of how you got this horse, he was purchased for $340,000 at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic two-year-old sale. What did you, Glenn, Butch Reed, the whole team, what did you see in him that made you say, hey, this is the guy we want and we're willing to pay? In this day and age, that's not an astronomical amount of money, but it's not cheap either. So please go through the thinking about why you purchased him.
Well, going into sale, I was actually looking for sires in the Mischief. I did not have any at the time. I saw he had a few in the sale. And then I talked to Carrie Frommer, who she actually trained some horses or break some yearlings for me into two-year-olds. So I have a pretty good relationship with her. I went over and actually looked at a filly at a Medaglia d'Oro and tap it on the bottom. And my son Alex went with me. And when I was looking at her, he saw a nice big strapping colt to his right. After I got done talking to Carrie about the filly, I said, you know, so who's your best colt? She pointed over there to the In the Mischief colt and, you know, gave me a little more background on him and brought Butch into the loop. We looked at him. We vetted him. We really, really liked him. We thought his 10-1 work was pretty impressive there. So we started the bidding process and got him for $340,000. To be honest, I thought going in, I might have to bid a little higher, but so I was very, very happy to get him for that number.
Okay, so you told us you're going to Florida. I imagine the Florida Derby is a must. That's usually the first thing everybody circles on their calendar. Do you go both Holy Bull and Fountain of Youth, one or the other? Or what have you and Butch figured out?
He went to the back to the track today, first time since the race, and he's pretty much going to tell us. You know, he'll be down there in 10 days or so. I'll start training right around January 1st. And if we can hit the race early February, so be it. If not, it'll be the race early March. So there's no urgency at this point. You know, we do have the 10 points. And obviously, you need to win or do well in order to even consider the Derby. So that's kind of what we're thinking with him.
Okay. Now, when you get to the Derby, if you get to the Derby, Bob Baffert's going to be waiting there for you with what seems like about 10 horses. There's several other good horses in the East Coast, Midwest, et cetera. So these things tend to sort themselves out over time. But as we're talking here in the first week in January, where do you think he belongs among the three-year-old future three-year-old crop? In your mind, is he number one? Does he have to do a little more to prove he's as good as Game Winner? What are your thoughts on that?
I certainly think he needs to do a little more to be number one and better than Game Winner. But as of right now, he is 3-for-3. I consider him a top five two-year-old. Going into next year, like I said, we're going to be patient with him. And we think he's going to do really well down in Florida. And he's certainly going to face some really stiff competition. So we'll get a much better gauge then, mm-hmm. but like I said, going into next year, I consider him a top five, and it's not a bad place to be sitting.
No, not at all, of course. And Chuck, when you talk about where he comes from and his origins, he comes out of Parks, and people are saying now he's the best horse to come out of Parks since Smarty Jones, which is quite a compliment. In some respects, though, does that put a little bit of pressure on you? I mean, do you feel like the Eagles having to repeat in the Super Bowl, which, by the way, hasn't gone that well for Philly's team this year?
Nah, the Eagles, yeah. Speaking of the Eagles, it was a great run last year, and I was there most games, playoffs, and the Super Bowl, so it was a great ride. But as far as Maximus and Smarty Jones comparison, you know, I had the utmost respect for Smarty Jones and John Service, and you know, my story goes, they're the ones who got me into racing. So I was so caught up in this Smarty Jones phenomenon and followed him and wanted to put a group together. So I'm a big fan of Smarty Jones as well as John Service. Comparing the two, I think there is a similarity there. Certainly out of Parks, you know, our horse is 3-for-3. And I know Smarty won several. I think he won about 40 lost to Belmont. So, but I don't know. I think, like I said, we're 3-for-3 going into Florida, and I think that's going to be basically the acid test at that time. And, you know, so we're going to have to wait 60 days. I'm thrilled to win the Rampson, where all of a sudden, you know, you're pretty much on everybody's radar screen. You're still the talk, and you know, when people are talking about Derby dozens and top 10 mm-hmm. horses. And like I said, I truly believe we're right around number five. So
sure.
Not a bad place to be.
Okay. And now, Chuck, this is a question you've already been asked 24 times, and you're going to be asked it 500 times between now and the first Saturday in May. But you have a lot of options here. You could sell this. You bought the Source for $340,000. You could sell him for far, far more than that. Or you could just take some money off the table and sell 10% of him, 20% of him. The last I talked to you, you really weren't that open to the idea of selling any part of him. What's the latest on that?
We're still pretty much the same thing. We're very happy, and we're still relishing, you know, Saturday's results. Really haven't gotten many calls on him, and I think people realize we're going to pretty much take our chances going into next year. You know, I'm still doing a little research. I don't see us selling any part of them. And I think we're all pretty much in agreement. We're going to see how 19 plays out, especially the first, you know, race or two. At that time, you start to get the farms calling you that are looking for a breeding prospect stallion down the road. So I think we're going to roll the dice, take our chances, and see how the first couple of months of 2019 play out. But I don't see any changes as far as ownership. So it was first or second race.
Okay. There's plenty more to come with Chuck Zackney, but first this message from our good friends at TaylorMade.
Family owned and operated since 1976, TaylorMade has dedicated the past three decades to serving clients and helping make equine dreams come true. No other agency has sold more Grade One winners, more graded stakes winners, or more Breeders' Cup champions than TaylorMade. Visit us at the sales or online at TaylorMadeFarm.com and discover what TaylorMade can do for you.
Jeremy Rose has yet to make a move on him. He's still five lengths from the lead, and he's running on strongly. And now the field approaching the top of the stretch. Giacomo on the outside is the leader as the field turns for home, but here comes the Preakness winner, a Fleet Alex on his outside, and Southern Africa battles on at the rail, and a Fleet Alex just ran right by Giacomo like he was standing still. A Fleet Alex opening up with a tremendous burst of energy. He's five lengths clear at the eighth pole. Andromeda's Hero is now moved into second, Southern Africa third, Giacomo has faded, Nolan's Cat. A compelling, outstanding performance by the plucky of Fleet Alex. He won by six or seven lengths.
Chuck, I had a discussion with you a few weeks ago, and you told me at that time that no horse would ever surpass your first big star of Fleet Alex in your mind. Why is that? And would you still say that if Maximus Mischief won the Kentucky Derby?
Alex is truly special, near and dear to me. You know, he pretty much put us on the map, and you know, I got to give Tim Ritchie all the credit in the world. He's the one who picked out the horse, trained him, and, you know, really credited with all of Alex's success. But at that time, it was just truly special. I mean, you're talking about a partnership walking into the game and competing at the highest level. So it was truly, truly special. It was an experience that, you know, we shared with so many people, my family, friends, colleagues. I really would not trade anything for that. And that really got me into the game, loving the game. So I, you know, if you're going to ask me, I think Maximus still has to accomplish a lot to, you know, to be in Alex's. But Alex is right now pretty much head and shoulders at this point above Maximus.
So let's switch gears now to your other fine two-year-old. This is the filly, of course, Jaywalk, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner. You own this horse in partnership with DJ Stable. And this is a horse from the first crop of Cross Traffic, who I don't think there was a whole lot of buzz about him as he entered into the breeding shed, into the stallion business. Yet your team paid $190,000 for her at Keeneland September. Same question I asked before about Maximus Mischief. What did they see? It must have been something that they saw that maybe other people overlooked, because that's a lot of money to pay for a sort of an unproven sire.
Yeah, it really is. And I think at the time, his stud fee was right around $7,500. But, you know, John, you know, we'll call it the John Service team. They have a pretty good group of people that are looking at yearlings, you know, way back in September, Keeneland. And they spotted her. They really liked her. It was consigned by Gainsway, who have a relationship with Anthony Beck, Michael Hernan. So we got some pretty good info, and you know, John and his team really did all the legwork and get all the credit. They liked her athletic and actually, she has a really feminine side. But when she needs to, she certainly has speed. So there were a lot of things to like. I didn't get a call about her till afterwards because I was home at the time, and I said, I'm in for whatever you buy. But I usually get a text or a call right afterwards that they got her, so I was thrilled.
It certainly turned out to be a great buy as Jaywalk crushed the competition in the juvenile fillies.
And it's Jaywalk. Jaywalk comes into the final furlong, opening up a two-length lead. Restless Rider is second. On the inside comes Vibrance in third. Bella Fina is back to fourth. Passing the 16th pole, this filly can cross wherever she wants. Jaywalk is a Breeders' Cup champ. She won it by six.
Now, when the name Chuck Zackney comes up, the first thing, of course, we think of is a Fleet Alex. But you also won the 2016 Kentucky Oaks with Catherine Sophia. You ready to compare Jaywalk to Catherine Sophia yet? And if so, how do they compare?
Catherine was a lot different. I mean, you know, she had a couple little ailments, so we had to really take our time with her. She raced twice, I think, as a two-year-old or maybe a third time. And she won each race impressively. I think after four races, she won by 40 lengths. This filly has taken a totally different path. She was a little more precocious and, you know, running early after a second-place start. She, you know, rode off a couple wins in a row. I would say, you know, even though Catherine is named after my niece, I'm probably a little more excited about Jaywalk and the potential going into next year. She really is a special filly, and I think we're going to see really good things out of her come 2019.
Interesting comparison there. Now, you give some of your horses to Butch Reed, like Maximus Mischief. You give some to John Service, like Jaywalk. Truthfully, Chuck, a lot of people with horses like that, and they're both excellent, excellent trainers, but they couldn't be calling Bob Baffert, Todd Pletcher, or Chad Brown fast enough. You also use a local rider, of course, in Frankie Pennington. And what is it about these guys, these filly guys, that you're so loyal to and have not drank the Kool-Aid of a Bob Baffert or a Chad Brown?
Well, first, they're very good trainers. And when we're picking out horses, they're certainly involved, and it really is a team effort. They're usually, you know, top three trainers at Philly Park. But more importantly, I mean, they're really dear friends and they communicate well. And that's probably the number one thing that's really important to me. I mean, I can call them up. We'll talk about horses. We'll talk about family. We'll talk about the Eagles. We'll talk about world events. I'm never rushed off the phone. I mean, some of these conversations, which are several times a week, can go 20, 30 minutes. And it's usually, you know, at the end of their training day. So they're never rushed. They're always, we always enjoy talking to one another. And like I said, they're very successful, and the results show, at the racetrack.
We'll be right back with Chuck Zackney, and let's take a look at a Fleet Alex when we return. But first, this message from TaylorMade.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Harvard of Grace.
7-10, you want to get 10 million, Hunter, right here, ready to get out of the mats away now, 10. 10-10, you ready to get out of the mat, ready to get 10. Bruce, right here, $10 million even.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus. But don't take our word for it. Here's what some of our most satisfied customers have to say.
This is Brian Kahn, Los Angeles, California. I've been associated with, worked for, and been a client of TaylorMade and the TaylorMade family for close to 30 years now. Had great success with them. They've always been transparent and honest, and I always felt I was getting the right end of the deal with them. Highly recommend their services, from boarding, public sales, private sales. I've used all. All have been a success and a pleasure to deal with.
Here's longtime TaylorMade client Rick Porter of Fox Hill Farms, owner of numerous champions and Grade 1 winners, such as 2011 Horse of the Year, Havre de Grace.
I've been doing business with TaylorMade for over 20 years. Everyone knows they are the best sellers at auction, but they have also done great work for me in the private market. They have an unbelievable network that can help you buy or sell privately in a very professional and transparent way. I wish I had these guys working for me when I was in the car business.
Discover what TaylorMade can do for you. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com.
Chuck, sometimes these things are difficult to put into words, but can you describe the ride and the thrill that that horse, the Fleet Alex, took you guys on?
Oh, it was incredible. Like I said, I mean, we put a group together, and the funny thing is, you're looking back at the sale, you know, Tim, Richie picked out the horse. 30 days later, he's in his first race, which is pretty much unheard of. And he's winning that by 11, 12 lengths. He comes back a couple weeks later, he wins by 11, 12. We go off to Saratoga, and we're the favorite in the Sanford. And I remember Joe Lehrer and I standing in the paddock area, and I'm looking up and saying to Joe, can you believe we're 3-1 here at Saratoga? You know, one of my favorite tracks way back when. So it was a great ride, you know, and then we won the Hopeful after that. And, you know, we just had so many great moments. But once again, it was just an experience sharing it with you know, Jeremy and Tim and the partnership. And then, you know, at the end of 2004, we got Alex's Lemonade Stand, Liz Scott involved. And it really, really was special. And it meant, Alex meant a lot to a lot of different mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. And you're getting letters, you know, from parents who had, you know, kids with cancer. It was just really special. One of the things very few people don't know, and once again, this is Tim Ritchie's idea. Prior to each big race, Kentucky, Maryland, and New York, we went to a children's hospital and visited the kids there and talked about a Fleet Alex and gave out hats and buttons. And it was all about giving back and, you know, seeing these kids. You know, you walk into a room and you see them with tubes and prospects not really good, but they had the biggest smiles. And you think about how lucky you are. And so it was... It was a great experience. It was a great trip. And I probably would not trade it for anything. It really was. And it was shared by many. So lots of good memories there. And who knows, maybe we're on another good ride with Maximus.
Oh, that's great feedback. Now, you guys were very new to the game when you bought a Fleet Alex. You jump into the sport, and the next thing you know, you win two classic races. Were you guilty, as many people have been in that situation, of thinking, gee, this is easy?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Like I said, Smarty Jones certainly got us, got me going. The juice is flowing. And here we come into the game. And, yeah, we're winning two-thirds of the Triple Crown. But the funny thing is, we had a nice little claiming group together. At one point, I think we won 7 or 8 races. We were winning everything at Delaware Park, too. I mean, we were like red hot, and we're like looking at each other like, what the heck is going on? This is an easy game. I can't believe, you know, more people aren't doing this. So it was a great ride. And, you know, as the game goes, you get a little chilly. Just make sure you're not too chilly for too long. But sure, you know, looking back, you kind of like, you know, why us having all this luck, all this success so early, when you hear and read about so many people who've been in the game many, many years and did not even sniff some of the success that we had.
Right. And now, Chuck, with the exception of Catherine Sophia, between Alex and the two current horses that we've been talking about, the 2 2-year-olds, you didn't have a whole lot of success. And I do believe that you spent quite a bit of money trying to find the next Fleet Alex. How frustrating was that? And you learned the other side of racing, of what a tough game it can be. So tell us a little bit about that experience.
Absolutely right. You know, like I said, we thought it was easy, and, you know, the partnership started to break up and go away. But I stayed in the game and continued to spend. I was lucky. My business was doing well, so I was able to spend, but really not seeing a whole lot of success. And one of the things I started to realize is, well, not only how tough the game is, but I guess the injuries were really the toughest part of it. You know, whether you're spending, you know, $20,000 on a horse or $300,000, and then all of a sudden they're not even getting to a race. It happens, you know, in training, and you're scratching like, what am I doing wrong? So that is really the frustrating part. But I think it really is amazing things happening, you know, in groups. And so we, you know, started out hot. Really got cold for a number of years. And then all of a sudden, I would say from 2016 through now, things are going really, really well. So I'm thinking, you know, you know, why am I so lucky? I got to be honest. I woke up the other day and I looked at some of the rankings for two-year-olds and I see Jaywalk is number one. Maximus is number four. And it's, you know, I'm like, this really doesn't happen to a guy from Northeast Philly.
Right.
So it's, yeah, it's special. I'm enjoying every minute of it. Take my family. It's neat to have my son involved with it. You know, he feels like the father of Maximus, you know, picked him out, and you know, anybody says anything negative, he's pretty much, he's very protective. So, and then John and the Greens on Jaywalk, it really, it's a lot of fun. I'm hoping things continue to go well and we're all together, you know, in Florida in the beginning of the year, and certainly Churchill Downs the first weekend in May.
Sure. And during the so-called cold period, what did you learn? Did you make any particular mistakes that you look back on now and say, geez, I shouldn't have done that?
I guess the one thing, and I'm probably doing it today, is you should probably keep it to a select number of horses, you know, whether it be 2, 3, 4, 5. Sometimes when you even if you're spending 20,000 average on a horse and you have 10 of them, it's really the expenses that start to eat you up. So I guess one of the things I'm trying to do is get the number down, but the quality up. Even if I'm spending a little bit more, I'm taking the chance of getting quality over quantity. And I think over the last couple of years, it seems to be working a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's certainly a difficult game. And like I said, I rely on the team around me. I mean, I can look at a catalog at a breeding page and things like that, but it's really Butch and John and Mr. McGreevy, who really make the final decision, and then we pretty much conference and go from there. So I'm very, very lucky to be surrounded by really good horsemen.
Right. And in December, if I'm talking to you or anyone else with a good two-year-old male colt, I'll usually ask them, have you allowed yourself to dream of winning the Kentucky Derby? I'm going to take this question with you one step further. Have you allowed yourself to dream of a Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Oaks double?
I have. You know, sure. It might be a little greedy. I think we have a really terrific filly in Jaywalk, and I think she's going to have a really successful spring campaign, winter spring. Maximus is doing everything right, so it would be kind of cool to go there, you know, with a really good filly and a really good colt. Sure, you always dream. You know, Jaywalk got me the Breeders' Cup race that I didn't get with Alex. Alex came in second. So to win that, it's just another thing off the bucket list, another thing checked. But I don't have my Kentucky Derby, and truly, I realize how difficult it is. It's been, 14, 15 years before I go back again, if we go back again. So I certainly realize how hard it is, but one, it'll be special just to be there that first weekend. And if we're lucky enough to do well, it's going to be really, really special. It might take me a week or something to get home after all the celebrating that
right.
we do. But yeah, it should be a whole lot of fun.
Chuck, congratulations on a fantastic 2018. I will congratulate you in advance on the Eclipse Award that Jaywalk is going to get for the two-year-old Philly Championship. And good luck on this incredible quest that your stable is going on in 2019. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Bill. Always nice to talk to you.
Okay, thank you. And we want to thank, of course, TaylorMade for making this TDN podcast possible.